Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We got a lot on our plates already tonight. And a lot of what I have to give has already been given. So I trust I will be able to work through this sermon more speedily than I thought. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would have your way. Remove me from any way of lying or untruth, and help me to preach your word faithfully. Give us ears to hear and
Amen.
Spirits that would submit,
Amen.
Wills to do. And in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. It may be too soon to tell, but it may be that I've lost the debate. There's a debate with some brethren I've been having in Poland as to whose job is it to evangelize. I hope through what I've told them that they will come to their senses and see my point of view, because I believe it is a scriptural point of view, God's point of view. The debate is something like this. Preachers and missionaries should evangelize. They are the ones responsible. They are called to evangelize. They are paid to evangelize. And the rest of us don't really have a direct responsibility. Or if they don't say direct, it turns out to be that way in their lives. And so they excuse themselves from evangelism in that way with those excuses. I am not like that. What I believe the Bible says, that all believers are equally called to evangelize.
Amen.
I understand that it's kind of like a light bulb in terms of some may shine 30 watts and some may shine 60 watts and some may shine 100 watts, but we all shine. We're all lights. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And I would like to look at the scripture, some passages tonight, that convince me that I'm on the right track. And I trust they will convince you. The story in Luke chapter 8 that I want to talk about is the demoniac healed. You'll remember that. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. Oh, yes, the demoniac healed. Oh, yeah, that is right. That's where he got healed. Anyway, this guy's out sitting in the tombs, and he's naked, cutting himself with knives or rocks or stuff like that. That's the background of it. And Jesus comes on the scene, and it heals him so that he is now clothed, sitting in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And then there's this strange reaction in this story to what's just happened. Through the healing, through this experience that this man has had, the people of the countryside come out. And notice in verse 37 it says, and then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round about besought him that he would heal them too, or preach the gospel to them too, or bring the good news to them. No. Besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, at this point, that seemed odd to me, but this is what happened. The man had a desire in his heart now. He wants to do something now. And do you know what that is? That's to go with Jesus, right? He wasn't really thinking about telling anybody else, as far as I can see. But Jesus had a different idea. He says, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done for thee.
Amen. That's right.
The man says, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And he did. And when Jesus comes back to this particular countryside, it says in verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him.
Yeah.
I think you did a pretty good job. You know what I'm talking about? Well, here's my question. Why did that man evangelize? Why did he do it? Was it because he had a calling to do it, or was it because he had a command to do it? I mean, Jesus did tell him that, no, you can't come with me, go back. Was this the reason why he did it? The only reason why? Maybe the main reason why? Or was it perhaps that because one day he was seeing naked and cut and insane in the graveyard until he met Jesus, and Jesus set him all right?
Amen. Amen.
Well, that brings the question, it makes me think of the question, wait a minute, when I look at the church today, another question comes to mind, and that is, why did he evangelize at all? I mean, Jesus is gone, who's going to know? Right? Who's going to tell him? Hey, I'm sure that when he's been on the tombs and when he's been in his craziness, I think there's some family responsibilities that haven't been taken care of. He's got to go take care of some family business now. Rejoin his family and rekindle relationships. He doesn't have time for that stuff. I'm sure that he's been out there, he hasn't had time to take care of business. And now his business has got to be reset and all these things got to be set right. And so all of that lost time has got to be made up for somehow, some way. You know what I think? I don't think he could help evangelize. I mean, let's reason. If you can identify with this man at all, then you know what was going on in his life and in his heart on the road back to his hometown. I bet he started on the road. I mean, he's talking to the guys on the road. Hey, I got something to tell you. Hey, when he gets to town, hey, what did he do? How did he do this? It says he published. Well, how did he publish? Did he publish? I know Billy, he's pretty good at, I think he built a printing press. In my mind, that's what I got. Billy built a printing press, and they printed gospel tracts, and they published the gospel, and, well, did he do that? Well, I doubt it, all right. Well, how about this? How about if he had a big dinner? How about he had a big dinner, invited all his friends and all his family? And how about this? What if he went down to the street corner, and he started preaching on the street? You know, what Jesus did for him, how Jesus set him free.
Amen.
Or, I don't know, you got an idea? How would you get it done?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Do you think there was anybody who he didn't preach to? I'll tell my family, but I ain't going to tell him. It just bubbled out of him.
Yeah.
I bet even his lifestyle, I mean, I bet people were walking across the street. When I was in Korea, people used to walk across the street to my side. I would like to say because it was like this man, the testimony. But no, they just wanted to feel the hair on my arms. But this man had been crazy, living in the tombs, and was famous, infamous for what he was. And Jesus healed him as they were coming across the street. Hey, you know the guy, you know who he looks like? You know who he resembles? It is him, by the way. Let's go find out what happened.
Yeah.
Apply the example to ourselves. Can you identify with what Jesus did for this man? You know, can you remember when you were lost? Can you remember when what that was like? Can you remember what kind of state of mind you were in? Can you imagine? Can you remember that? If you can you identify with his actions after he met Jesus? I said, yeah, I can identify with that. Because that's just like me. Oh. Sometimes we can identify with being lost. We can identify with these things, all the bad. We identify with that. We say, amen, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. But we can't identify with the actions that these people take after they met Jesus. That ain't right. That ain't right. Look over at John chapter 1. And John told us about this particular story. The calling of Philip and Nathanael. Verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael. It seems to me the desire of Philip's heart is to find somebody and tell him.
Yeah.
Right? And so he does. And then in verse 46 you read, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? A tough question. But an easy answer. I don't know. Come and see. I don't know. Come and see. Isn't that funny? The first question this guy gets asked, he don't know the answer to. But it didn't slow him down a bit. Come and see. Come and see. You know, why did Philip bring Nathanael to Jesus Christ? Why? Why did he do it? Did he have a special ordination to do that? Did he have a special calling to do that? Did he have special training in the techniques of evangelism to do that? Was it his extensive knowledge in the Bible that led him to do that? He had found Jesus. He had found Jesus the Christ. And he just had to tell somebody. He just had to tell somebody. Can you identify with this guy? Can you? Can you identify with Philip's ignorance? I can. Man, I don't know about that. Like you said about Brother Adrian, he says, well, I don't know about that, but I know I have eternal life. Do you? Can you identify with Philip's actions? Lord, help us. Look at John chapter 4. I'm just going to look at a couple of passages that seem to set a pattern for me. This is the story of the woman at the well, you know. Down in verse 22, Jesus is talking to her, and he makes a surprising revelation. He says, ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You're ignorant. You don't know. Your grandma don't know. Your grandpa don't know. Your priest don't know. You don't know. Evangelism technique, right? But in verse 25-26, he makes his revelation. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, what's the first thing she does? What's the first thing she does? After hearing this, after seeing the truth, after having the darkness of tradition swept from her mind, what does she do? Well, she's getting water, right? So she goes ahead and finishes getting water, takes it back home, and then she finishes her business, and then she... No. What does she do? Let me see, what verse is that in? Oh, man, verse 28 and 29? Huh, look at that. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Amen.
And verse 30, man, I mean those people came out of that city in a flood.
Right.
Why did she evangelize? Why did she evangelize a city? Was it because of her special testimony that she had? The woman had five husbands, and the guy she was shacking up with now was not. I can kind of see why she's shacking up and why the guy wouldn't marry her. You know what I'm talking about? I don't blame him. Was it because she obtained or held a special office? Was it because she got paid? No. Was it because she had a theological degree or theological understanding? Jesus just told her, your theology is all bad. No. Or was it because she had found the Christ, the Savior of the world?
Amen.
And to her, not to go tell somebody that Jesus Christ was out by their well was unthinkable. It was irresponsible.
Yeah, right.
It was criminal.
Amen.
Not to tell. Can you identify with this woman? Those of you who have Christian parents and have grown up in Christian homes, you may not... All your friends are already Christian. All your relatives that you know are already Christian. So you may not quite catch that same sense. But this woman is like those of you who have come out of religion and found Christ.
Amen.
You know what this feels like. Just one more. I'm almost done. Wow. Look at Mark 5. Mark 5 is the raising of Jairus' daughter. This little girl's sick. She's sick unto death. And she dies. And then, down in verse, I think, 34. Yeah. That's where we find out she dies. And it continues on and... Jesus goes into the home, and he says, she's not dead, she sleepeth, and they laugh him to scorn. Then it goes on, he takes, I think, Peter, James, and John upstairs, and he talks to the, raises the maid, young maid from the dead. And then he says something really strange. It says, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it. What a strange thing for Jesus to say. I can't hardly imagine my daughter being raised from the dead and then being unable to talk about it. You know? I remember when I held Don in my arms as a little boy and he was gasping for breath and just couldn't breathe and I thought he was going to die. And I remember praying, oh God, oh God, oh God. It was just croup. I didn't know it at the time. I thought he was going to die. Man, was I happy that he didn't. Now, if he had, and then he'd been raised from the dead, how could I not talk about that? Now, look over at Matthew. In chapter 9. In verse 26. This is the same story. Jesus raises the little girl from the dead. And he goes out, and in verse 26 it says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Oops. What? Oops. You know, we ought to be a people that even if preachers were supposed to evangelize, even if missionaries were supposed to evangelize, even if we got only people who paid should evangelize, that still, it wouldn't make any difference.
Yes, right.
We'd have to talk anyway.
Right.
Do you know anybody that's been raised from the dead? Have you been raised from the dead? Have you passed from death unto life?
Yeah.
Have any of your children passed from death unto life?
Yeah.
How about your wife? How about your husband? How about your grandma? How about your grandpa?
Amen.
Is Robert Tiesman here? I know who Debbie is. Robert's father passed from death unto life.
Yeah.
The next day, he passed out into heaven. Are you happy about that? You want to talk about that? You want to tell anybody about that? How many people have you told about that? I don't know. Let me see your ordination papers. Has the fame of Jesus spread abroad because of your efforts? How far has it spread abroad?
All right, amen.
How far? Just to your household? Just to your neighborhood?
All right, amen.
Just to San Antonio? How far have your efforts spread the fame of Jesus? Oh, man, that's a hard question. Good one. You know, when I think about, I'll conclude with this thought, these couple of thoughts here. When I think about these stories, and there's, the New Testament is filled with these kind of stories, you know? And people say things like evangelism, you know, well, whose job is it? I have trouble thinking about evangelism in those terms. Whose job is it? I think it's a question of, like, it's just part of our nature. You know? It's like fish. You know, fish, they swim. You know, Christians witness. Fish swim. Now, some live in a coral reef. Some live in caves. They don't go very far. Some migrate all around the earth. And they say there's some sharks that never stop swimming. But they all swim. They all swim.
Amen.
When I look at our history, our own personal history, I've heard Brent talk about his, Brian talk about his, Gosha talk about hers, and their testimonies this week was, after they heard and understood,
amen,
and believed in the gospel, one of the first things they did was tell somebody. And my mom or my dad is just going to love this. My friends are going to love this. Well, they didn't. They didn't. At least not then. But we're trying to focus on the Christians, not how it's received, not how the message is received, but how the message is given.
Amen.
What's one of the first things after a believer, he calls on the Lord, what's one of the first things he does for the Lord? One of the first things? One of the first things? Baptism? That's one of his first things he does as a Christian, right? Baptism. What is baptism? To who?
Amen.
Everybody who's looking.
Amen.
If you're a Christian and you're in this room, have you been baptized?
Amen.
You have all given testimony to the world that Christ has died, was buried, and has risen again the third day for you? Let me see your ordination papers. Let me see your calling. Let me see the paycheck. What's your authority? It's silliness. It's silliness. You know, it's like we got a fire inside of us to tell others about Jesus. Now, some of us, that fire is kind of quenched a little bit?
Amen.
Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent.
Amen.
And do the first works.
Amen.
Tell others.
Amen.
Any discussion of evangelism that doesn't recognize that we are lights in the midst of this wicked world doesn't really tell the whole story. God has placed within every believer His Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Look at Romans 5 and we'll end on this verse. And through the Spirit of Christ, through the Spirit of the One who was the light of the world, God does something. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. You don't need ordination papers to get the Holy Ghost. You don't need to get paid. You don't need any of that stuff. For the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
So, final question. If it's shed abroad, then through your actions, and through your words, how far?
Amen.
How abroad? And for tomorrow, as you consider those things that were said tonight, make some decisions about shedding the gospel, this light of Christ, this love of God abroad in word and deed.
Amen.